This is Chris Dufault. I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Crookston, Minnesota. I'm pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson, along with Randy Conan here in the studio. We'll also be hearing a report from Jamie Dickerman in Washington, D.C. for Washington Watch. Rain in the next 7 days will be limited for the Northern Plains, and World Weather Incorporated says that combined with well above average temperatures will lead to widespread net drying. World Weather says much of the needed rain will be in the second week of the two-week outlook, although some areas will still need more. Daytime high temperatures in the Northern Plains will climb into the 80s and 90s through Tuesday, with overnight lows in the 40s and 50s.
Outside of rain in the lower Midwest on Thursday, dry weather will be most common through early next week, and farmers expected to make good planting progress before rain returns to the region next week. World Weather says timely widespread rains is expected Wednesday through Saturday and should bring relief to the driest areas of the eastern Dakotas and southern Minnesota. World Weather also says temperatures will be warmer than normal through next week, with highs in the 70s and 80s most common.
Favorable conditions for field work will continue for most of Brazil and Paraguay over the next 2 weeks. World Weather Incorporated says the exception will be southern Paraguay and southern Brazil, where significant rain is expected into Friday and again May 17th through the 21st. World Weather says Argentina will see a mix of rain and sunshine that will allow field work to advance during the drier periods over the next 2 weeks, while current soil moisture and expected rain should allow crops to develop favorably.
It's a busy time in our nation's capital, with the Trump administration working overtime on a lot of important issues. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Jamie Dickerman has this report on new EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin.
Reports from Washington Watch, brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Minnesota Farmers Union, South Dakota Farmers Union, Associated Milk Producers Incorporated, NDFB, and South Dakota Farm Bureau. Lee Zeldin, administrator of the EPA, taking on several significant issues as the agency moves forward with key policy initiatives affecting agriculture and energy, from revisiting the Waters of the United States rule to advancing E15 regulations. Zeldin outlining the agency's efforts to balance regulatory clarity and responsiveness to stakeholder needs. Zeldin discussing the ongoing work on WOTUS, explaining that the EPA's goal is to simplify the definition of water on U.S. land.
Post-Sackett, our goal is to be able to come up with a simple definition that farmers, ranchers, landowners across this country are going to know whether or not there's a water of the U.S. on their land without having to hire an attorney or to hire a consultant.
On the issue of renewable fuel standards, Zeldin highlighting the importance of responsiveness.
We're going through the process since confirmation of dealing with RFS, E15, RVO issues. We just made the announcement as it relates to an emergency waiver for the summer driving season with E15.
Zeldin also addressing the challenge of managing the agency's significant workload.
One of the questions that I've gotten asked is, what's the biggest surprise, what's the biggest shock since you became administrator of EPA? And the answer is just how much we're able to do at once. I did not think that we'd be able to do this much at once.
Zeldin emphasizing the importance of collaboration and communication with farmers.
So if there's any feedback that we get from the farming community all across this country of things that the EPA could be doing better, whether they are big things or they are small things, our ask is that the community lets us know what the entire list is now. My message is, anything that you have, large or small, to let us know now. You're not doing yourself a favor by holding anything back. You're not doing us a favor by holding anything back or desires to fix everything in 2025.
Reports from Washington Watch, brought to you by Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Minnesota Farmers Union, South Dakota Farmers Union, Associated Milk Producers Incorporated, NDFB, and South Dakota Farm Bureau. Reporting from Washington, D.C., I'm Jamie Dickerman on the Red River Farm Network.
Republicans have altered the most controversial piece of the House Agriculture Committee's portion of the Trump mega bill, a plan to force states to pay a portion of benefits under the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program for the first time. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Glenn G.T. Thompson defended proposed changes to SNAP as part of the upcoming farm bill, insisting they are bipartisan and designed to strengthen program integrity.
And we're not robbing anything. In terms of the pay-fors that we're looking at, and we're not finalized on them yet, so we're not really releasing them. It'll be out soon enough, and you'll see that these are program integrity measures, which are all designed to make the programs work better, to work according to what the intent of Congress is, to be able to really better serve on the nutrition side, better serve, you know, the people that are waking up in poverty, the people that are waking up and are sitting around their breakfast table, the mom and the dad just fretting about, where's your food going to come from? You know, where's the opportunity for work?
Thompson rejected criticism that SNAP changes would harm recipients, emphasizing efforts to eliminate the so-called poverty cliff.
The more that you do marginally better, and guess what? They pull the rug out from underneath you. You lose all your benefits. So let's say you're a single mom and you got a couple small kids. You're not going to take that chance, are you? I mean, you do it for yourself, but to risk it for those little babies, you're not going to do it. So we're changing the rules of the game with improving program integrity, so that the more they do, we don't pull the rug out from underneath.
National Farmers Union Vice President Jeff Kipley is calling for urgent action on the long-delayed farm bill, warning of economic stress in farm country.
Commodity prices are below cost of production as the inputs keep getting higher, and we got bankers that are starting to feel the pinch on their customers, and I'm afraid we're going the wrong way if we don't get this farm bill done. And something that really needs to be a focus of it is really that safety net.
And while in Washington, D.C. for the National Farmers Union's Week of Action, Kipley also raising concerns about the impact of broad, untargeted trade tariffs on agriculture. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Wednesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Congressman Brad Finstad is calling for urgent action in Washington to address growing uncertainty in agriculture. Finstad, a farmer himself, said producers aren't looking for handouts but need stronger markets to support their operations.
Challenges on the market side. Our inputs have continued to grow year over year. I don't think I've seen a day or a year in my farming life where a bag of corn is less expensive year over year, or fertilizer is less expensive. And so we've constantly, have that pressure on the input side. And so we need more markets. And the farmers that I have the honor to represent, we want to farm for markets, not mailboxes. We don't want subsidy checks. We want a market that produces the income that, grants us the quality of life and grants us the opportunity to farm for generations.
On the farm bill, Finstad expressed frustration with repeated delays and said key provisions must move forward quickly.
We're living in extensions. Thanks be to God, the 2018 farm bill was pretty good because that's what we're living under now, under another extension. But it's time for us to get our work done. It's time for us to really acknowledge the fact that the nutrition title of the farm bill has been the anchor that has held the bill from getting done down. And so, we're going to see some movement here in the next week or two in reconciliation, and that process will be able to pull components of the farm bill out that I think are really important for farmers in the upper Midwest.
Farmers throughout the country are in Washington, D.C. for the National Farmers Union Week of Action. Focus on this effort is to lobby for a farm bill. Felton, Minnesota farmer Melanie Thomas spoke out for voluntary conservation programs.
Well, I'm a beginning farmer, and I was able to access EQIP, and with EQIP that helped me provide technical assistance to get the knowledge that I otherwise wouldn't be able to afford to hire outright, and it enabled me to employ principles to help with soil health, water quality, and practices that I wanted to learn to do and implement on my farm to create resiliency.
And as a beginning farmer, Thomas is frustrated with the mixed responses she's heard from lawmakers.
We don't know kind of situations. We don't know what's going on because reconciliation. And I personally, I don't know the budget and whatnot, but that's not what I'm here for. I'm here to make the statement that we need to support our family farmers and we need to pass a farm bill.
As biofuel stakeholders push for clarity on the 2026 renewable fuel standard, industry groups are urging the EPA to adopt volumes they say are both realistic and necessary. Paul Winters, Director of Public Affairs for Clean Fuels Alliance, says there is strong consensus across agriculture and energy sectors.
Clean Fuels Alliance, along with a lot of our partners, the American Soybean Association, the National Oilseed Processors, the North American Renderers, the American Farm Bureau Federation, we joined together in March this year, and we did the math. We came up with a volume of 5.25 billion gallons that we believe we can easily put into the market in 2026. So we wrote a letter to EPA. We said, here's the volume we all agree on. Then we met with the American Petroleum Institute. We met with the major ethanol trade associations, and everyone's math was pretty much the same.
Winters added that the economic stakes are high.
Robust, timely volumes are always important, but they are critical right now, especially for a lot of workers and farmers across the country. So, you know, this morning, Clean Fuels put out a study on the jobs and economic impact that our industry supports here in the United States. So with 5 billion gallons of domestic production in 2024, we supported more than 107,000 jobs, more than $42 billion worth of economic activity.
The Make America Healthy Again strategy, led by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr., criticizes food produced with added sugars and seed oils. Minnesota Senator Tina Smith does not support that focus.
I'm very concerned about what Secretary Kennedy has in mind. I mean, mostly because everybody wants to make sure that our kids and everybody in our communities has access to healthy food, but I don't really get the sense that what he's working on is really based on the facts and the science and the data, and I don't think he has any idea what impact this could have on the farm economy, especially in northwestern Minnesota.
Go to rfn.com, sign up for our weekly Red River Farm Network e-newsletter. FarmNet News will hit your email box every Monday. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Biosecurity is a growing concern, and having good biosecurity plans are more vital than ever. National Milk Producers Federation Regulatory Affairs Director Michaela Hanselman talks about Farmers Assuring Responsible Management Program, or the FARM program, and how it can help develop a strong biosecurity plan.
Farm biosecurity was launched through a cooperative agreement with USDA's National Animal Disease Preparedness and Response Program. The first funding we got for it came through in 2020, so we officially launched the program in 2021 as really a way to take the reach that the National Dairy Farm Program has and try to keep biosecurity to be more on the forefront of dairy farmers' minds. The farm biosecurity pillar has two levels. The first level would be everyday biosecurity, and then the next level is enhanced biosecurity.
The goal of the farm program is to help dairy farmers be ready for any foreign animal disease threat.
We're just really trying to prepare the dairy industry to the best of our ability for a foreign animal disease, and the dairy industry's case will most likely be a foot and mouth disease outbreak, so that if, and I hope it never does happen in the United States again, that we can keep milk moving and protect our herds to the best of our ability. So with this training, we're just trying to get more people trained to be able to put those plans together for farmers so that we're ready should an outbreak ever occur.
Checking quotes, July wheat Minneapolis down 5¾ cents, 6.04¾. July wheat Chicago's even at 5.36 even. Kansas City's July hard red winter wheat 6¾ lower to 5.31¼. July corn down 5¼ to 4.50¼. July soybeans down $0.01¼ to 10.40 even. In Winnipeg, July canola is up $6 and now 20 cents per metric ton, $6.99.90 Canadian. On the cattle side, June live cattle down $1.10 to $12.57. August live cattle down 97 cents. October down 62 cents. August feeders down 62 cents to $2.98.57. June lean hogs down 12 cents at $97.45. July lean hogs down 2 cents. August down 25 cents. This is the Red River Farm Network.